You will open in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Would you pray with me? Holy God, would you open our eyes to see the burning bushes in our midst today? We believe that you are a God who continues to be near, that you are a God who continues to invite us to turn aside from the hustle and bustle and to hear your voice, to stand in your presence. And so just as the ground was those many years ago, an ordinary place made extraordinary by your presence, might you move in this place this morning, making this ordinary place your holy sanctuary. And Father, as we encounter you, help us bow down our hearts and worship. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here last week, you'll remember that we began a new series on hearing the voice of God in what tends to be a very noisy world. Last week, we just kind of laid the groundwork and we affirmed together that we serve a God who does indeed speak, a God who speaks to us. We asked together why, if he does speak and speaks to us, is it so hard to hear him so often? And among other things, we questioned whether or not we actually really wanted to hear him. Because hearing from our God, if the story of Scripture tells us anything, it tells us that it usually invokes some kind of change in us. And it's usually change for the better. It's always change for the better. But even still, change is hard. And so we ask, not only does he speak, but do we want to hear him speak? We were challenged last week to go home and to spend time simply asking God in our own places of prayer and reflection to make us willing to hear his voice. And trusting that we've done that this week, that we've done our homework just a little bit. We'll come back together each Sunday for the next 6 weeks, and we will look each time at one way that God tends to speak to us. Because just like in our human relationships, we serve a God who doesn't limit himself to just one form of communication. Amongst humans, we talk in all kinds of ways. We use letters, and we use phone calls, and chats over coffee, and body language, and you just name it. We're always communicating something, and so it is with God. We have a God who speaks in ways as varied as the people and the creation that he is speaking to. We could spend a whole year on this study and still not cover everything. And yet there are some specific ways that God does tend to speak most consistently and most universally among us. And so each week for the next few weeks, we will take one of these ways and we will zoom in on that with hopes of better understanding how our God, for one, is already speaking to us. And also with an encouragement to go from this place with open hearts and open minds, ready to hear from God and maybe some brand new ways as well. And so this morning, we jump right in the series. There's going to be 6 different ways. And we jump into the first one today, noticing how we serve a God who speaks over and over and over again through his creation, through nature. Now, some of you are already kind of raising your hand and saying, I already got this one. I love nature. I'm in it all the time. I don't really have a need to sit through a sermon on it. In fact, I almost went hiking this morning anyway, so why did I even come? You love the outdoors. You can't help but encounter God and the beauty of what He has made. And others in the room are already saying, can we just fast forward to next week? Because nature is totally not my thing. You think about creation and you immediately think about sunburns and mosquito bites and maybe even hippies. And all three of those make you equally anxious. And so you're ready to move on to the second way God might speak. Maybe it's a bit more relevant, more practical. But if both groups, everybody in between, will stick with us just for a moment, I think we will all have our minds and our hearts opened anew to the unique ways that God's voice is whispering all around us all the time through what He has made. Truth is, whether we love it or not, we serve a God who has chosen to speak through nature. And how could He not? Because it's His very handiwork on display for all to see. Each and every morning, all day long, there He is showing off. You just think about Scripture all over it. We have this God who uses images from nature to help us understand who He is and how He works. Throughout the Bible, God is referred to as a rock. And what do we know about rocks? That they are strong and they are lasting. Some rocks are even completely unmovable. They were here before we were here, and they will be here long after we are gone. Rocks. They provide a safe place for us to stand, even protection at times. And so we have this God who says throughout the Bible, look around you and take note. You can't see me, you can't see God, but you can see the rocks. And He says, I am God, the rock. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, my stronghold. Fast forward, Jesus meets the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And what does He tell her besides, I am the living water? He says, I am water that when you drink of it, you will never, ever thirst again. And what do we know about water? But it's that thing in nature that nourishes, that gives life, cleanses, and purifies. Jesus says, I'm that. I'm the living water. Moses, in this passage this morning, God caught his attention how? But through a bush that was on fire and was not being consumed. Moses takes note. He turns aside. He comes near to the bush. And out of it, he hears the voice of God Himself saying, I am, has sent you. If you know the story of Israel, you remember that they are led through the desert by fire and by clouds. You remember that Moses meets with God on that great mountain Sinai. And when he's up there receiving the law, the mountain is consumed by smoke. This sign for all to see that what's happening in that place is holy, sacred, divine. Something from nature evokes this image of a God who's on the move and who is in their midst. The first pages of Job, God speaks to the broken-hearted Job out of what it says is a whirlwind. Job's waiting and waiting and waiting for the voice of his God, and out of nature, God begins to speak. The Psalms speak of the God who leads his people through dark valleys and into green pastures, compares us to sheep, images from nature all around. The New Testament, the Gospels, the kingdom of God, is compared to mustard seeds and yeast. These very small, seemingly insignificant things that have disproportionate effects in the universe. And if you remember Jesus when he hangs on the cross, takes his very last breath, everyone around him missed the significance of what was happening in that place. The Son of God was being killed before their eyes. And with that very last breath, the Gospel of Matthew says the sky turned black and the earth began to shake. Nature, it groaned when we did not. And with that, the Roman guard finally speaks up and he says, surely this man is the Son of God. Nature revealed a truth that we could not see. God's people are promised that if they hope in the Lord, they will mount up on wings like eagles. It's a picture of freedom and of grace. The Holy Spirit descends on the baptized Jesus in the form of a dove. Jesus describes himself in John 15 as the vine, and he says, "We are the branches." Nature offers us a picture of a God who is near to his people, so near that his very life flows from theirs. God promised Abraham that his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And so with every glimpse above or below, there is a promise that there is a God who is faithful and who's up to something. Through plagues, through rain, through droughts, through rainbows, through talking donkeys, through anxious sheep, through barren fig trees, through fruitful vines, we have a God who spoke through nature. And he is still speaking. Because this place that we live in is truly our Father's world. And so if he's speaking in nature, the question is, well, what is he saying? The messages are diverse. We can never number them all. Our God speaks uniquely every day to his people. But there do seem to be some messages that he repeats again and again through what he has done. One of those is simply God's voice in nature telling us again and again that we are small, but that he is not. Psalm 121, that famous psalm that begins with the cry, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. Have you ever stood in a valley surrounded by mountains and looked up at a mountain range jetting into the sky before you? And have you ever just stood there for a moment and looked up and just let the truth of your smallness sink in? Just one tiny loose boulder from that mountain, something just the tiniest fraction of its entire size, if it came loose, could absolutely crush you in a moment. My weight, my strength, is an absolute joke in comparison to this mountain, this boulder that our God has made. And the psalmist, standing in a valley, looks up to the hills and says, "I look up to the hills, where does my help come from? I am so very small, who will help me?" And he says, my God will help me. The one who made this rock with nothing more than a word. When I'm driving in my car and I hit a patch of ice, or when the disciples set out to fish and they find themselves immediately caught up in the waves, we find ourselves time and time again calling out for our God. And in moments just as that, we are quite aware that our credentials will no longer do us much good at all. Doesn't matter what we've achieved, what we've earned, what we've learned, we are at the mercy of our God and of his creation. Oftentimes, God speaks in his creation simply to give us a little bit of perspective that we are not in control, but God is. We are so very small, but God is not. This is the God who can shut the mouths of hungry lions, who can calm the waves and throw these mountains into the sea. Nature, over and over again, invites us to stop worshiping ourselves for just a moment and to worship this God instead. What more does it say? Nature speaks into this great truth each and every day, that we were a people who were created to enjoy life and to appreciate beauty. The ancient Westminster Catechism, it says the chief end of man, the whole reason that man exists, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you know, we enjoy God when we learn how to enjoy the works of God's hands. For those who had children, you think about when your children bring you a piece of art that they have just made just for you. And somehow or another, you find joy in that art. You go on and on before them about how beautiful it is, whether or not you can make any sense of the picture at all. You might even hang it on the refrigerator where you're going to see it every single time you go to grab the milk. You see, we show our love for one another when we take time to acknowledge the unique ways that they make the world a more beautiful place for us to be in and live in. And so it is with our love for God. That's true, then a beautiful trail up a mountain or through the woods can serve each and every day as an invitation from our God to slow down and simply be surrounded by His artwork for a little while. No one else made that tree so big or that flower so beautiful. A bike ride along a country road, a Sunday afternoon drive, these things invite us to breathe more deeply and simply enjoy these unhurried moments of life with our God. It could be a swim in the ocean, paddling down the canal, a simple invitation to just enjoy an afternoon in the midst of God's handiwork. Whatever gets us into it, we got to get into it. I can't imagine that our God doesn't just absolutely love it when He can look at us and see that we are thoroughly enjoying what He has done and what He has made. And so God's voice in nature calls His children time and time again to stop taking ourselves so seriously and just to play a little. God likes that too. You see, life is too short to only work and only clean and only pay bills and only sit in meetings. He's put us together on this interactive canvas that He has made, full of beauty and full of fun. And if we pause for a while and stop the toil and just listen, you might just hear a God who is saying, "My child, don't miss it. Don't forget that I never called you only to serve me. You've also been called to enjoy me. So get outside and live a little. Enjoy my handiwork. Soak it up. That is worship." What else is God whispering in nature? I often find that my own time outdoors reminds me that I serve a God who absolutely values life. And so should I. If you think about it, each spring, trees that have been barren for months begin to adorn themselves with green leaves once again. All around us, new life every single year pops out of dormancy and death and decay. I remember one day a few years ago, I was running in the park on a spring day, and I was coming off of a really hard winter at the church I was serving. I had sat through more funerals than I ever cared to sit through in a 3-month period, and I was weary, and I was hurting. I was grieving families that I loved who had lost loved ones and people that I loved too. And I was running, and I was thinking, and I was crying out to God, you know, "How long, O Lord, until this is done?" And as I'm running down this trail, everything within me said, "Jamie, look over to the water." I look at the water of this river, and there was a mother duck with, I counted, 14 ducklings. And as I stopped mid-run, I just looked for a while and watched this mom trying to corral these 14 babies. They were going all over the place. And all of a sudden, everything within me changed. And I heard God whisper clear as day, "Jamie, I love life. And life is still all around you. Take time and grieve the death, but don't forget to look for life." And that morning I started to look for life, and lo and behold, it was everywhere. Because we serve a God who loves life. And creation is a way He speaks to us and says, "You can't grieve forever. There is life. Find it. Rejoice in it." Sometimes God speaks through nature simply to tell me that it's actually not all about me. I remember one day when I was snorkeling over in the Red Sea when I was living in Egypt, and I found myself just amazed in this day at the beauty of the fish, the clear water, this amazing coral reef. you know, have you ever thought about the fact that there is an entire world under the sea, the vast majority of which no human eye has ever seen and probably never will? Under the sea, there are mountain ranges and valleys and creatures completely unknown. And what this tells me again and again is that not all beauty was created for us. Some of it was actually maybe just created for our God. Think about that. Recenters everything. There are animals that live and die without a single human spotting them. There are organisms that have always been that are much too tiny for us to even know exist. Snowflakes. There are no two alike. And yet billions of them fall every single year and melt without any investigation by a human. Plants. They grow where no human foot has stepped. There are birds whose song no human ear has heard, because it's not all about us. It's all about God. He gets to see it all. He gets to hear it all. He made it all, and it all calls out in praise to Him. Sometimes in creation, if I stop and I just simply listen and marvel for a while, what I hear God saying to me is, "My child, I love you very, very much. In fact, I love you much, too much, to make this all about you. Though your world may be all-consuming, there is one greater who this is really all for. So take a deep breath. Relax, enjoying all creation, even the parts you will never know, and sing that chorus of praise to the one who it is all for." I began to remember so many times in my life that God spoke to my heart in a very special way through His creation, through nature. It's one of the places that I find myself restored and renewed, so I'm out there as much as I can be. But there are significant times that I will never forget when God spoke clear as day to me through what He had made. I remember when I was a freshman in college, just finished that year, and I was a summer missionary in at a campground in the mountains of Arkansas. And I was just starting out ministry on my own for the first time. Had a roommate who we kind of had some differences, didn't get along too well. I had given my first try at a few Sunday morning devotions at a campground. Turns out people on vacation don't love to go to church. And so I was just really, really discouraged. Things weren't working very well and began to question, you know, am I really supposed to be here? Am I really cut out for this ministry kind of stuff? It was a Monday morning. There was a beautiful river that ran through the campground, a mountain stream. And I walked out into the river to this big boulder sitting in the middle of the water, climbed up the boulder, and I just sat there. And sitting in that place, I was just kind of telling God, this isn't working. I thought you called me here. My roommate is hard. People don't come to church. Why am I even here? And I sat there and looked out, and after a while of just listening to the water, clear as day again, I heard God speak to my heart, and He said, "Jamie," He said, look around you. Look at all those rocks. He said, the river wouldn't sing if it wasn't for those rocks. And He said, these obstacles, these frustrations, these struggles, lean into them, embrace them. I am teaching you how to sing, how to come to life. Creation, God speaks through it. My first Thanksgiving, when I was living overseas in Egypt, I had been there for about 6 months at the time, and I was living in Cairo, and Cairo is not a very relaxing place to live. You've got 20 million people, with infrastructure for about 2 million. So you're constantly surrounded by complete chaos, by noise, by traffic, by trash, by men who are just terrible there. It was just crazy. Very, very high anxiety kind of place to live. We decided for Thanksgiving to get out of town, and we were gonna do a 3-day retreat camping trip in the Sahara Desert. So me and my teammates got some Bedouin guides and went to the desert and spent Thanksgiving Day on a big, massive sand dune. It was amazing. There was no turkey, but it was great. And as I sat up on that sand dune that day, just me and hundreds and hundreds of miles of nothing but sand. I sat with God and I just said, God, I'm weary. All the time I'm surrounded by noise and by demands and by trash. And I heard God speak into my heart in the Sahara, and he said, Jamie, look around at this place. See the desert. He said, notice that it is all for me. It's not even for tourists. What are you doing here? No one goes to the Sahara for vacation. He said, look at it. It is safe. It is uncontaminated. It is faithful to this simple task that I've given it in creation to simply reflect my beauty. He said, there's no trash. There's no stickers. We walked around barefoot all weekend long. He said, there's no predator. There's no prey. Just beauty. And in that place, God spoke into my heart, and he said, Jamie, I want your life to become a place that is safe for others to bring their hurts and their weary feet, where they too can walk around barefoot, unafraid of judgment and pride. He said, may your life also be a life that is free from the trash, the contamination that this world throws at you. May you live freely, knowing that you are mine. May you simply reflect my beauty and my glory. The best Thanksgiving day ever. There was no food, but God was there, and it was amazing. Just a few months ago, I think it was June, I decided to go out on my day off and hike up Mount Rose over in the Lake Cushman area. And I'm from Texas. I'm still learning these things. It was sunny here, and so I thought that meant it'd be sunny there. So I bring shorts and a t-shirt and tennis shoes, and I go hiking on Mount Rose. And I get up to, I don't know, high up, and all of a sudden I am covered in snow. And I'm stepping into snow that's above my knees, and there's no trail. No one else had been there recently. I don't know why. Maybe only I have good ideas. And so there's no footsteps, no trails, no nothing. And I am stepping into eventually waist-deep snow. And I think maybe this isn't very smart. No one knew I was there. I forgot to check in. So after a while, I turn around and start going back down the mountain. That's a hard hike, frustrating to not get to the top. And so I go back down kind of in a bad mood. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not what I planned for the day. I plan to have this awesome summit experience with God. And here I am going back down, cold and wet. I get down to Lake Cushman, find a rock, and just sit on it for a little while to kind of pout before I head home. And as I'm sitting on this rock, clear as day, this is no joke, I sense within me the Spirit saying, Jamie, open your Bible and read Psalm 36. I had no idea what Psalm 36 was. It just sounded like any number to me. It's not one of the famous ones. I said, Psalm 36, I'll give it a try. I turn to that psalm and begin to read the words, and I'm looking, it's a cloudy day. If you've ever been to Lake Cushman, there's mountains all around, the deep lake right there, crystal blue. And as I read that psalm, verses 5 and 6 are the verses that say, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the water deep. And here I am, surrounded by clouds and by mountains and by water, reading this psalm that just simply extols the goodness, the love, the righteousness, the mercy, the justice of our God. And as I read it, God speaks to me and says, Jamie, I just want you to know it's real, that this is still true, that I am here, and I simply wanted you to embrace the reality and fullness of me today. So let's just worship down here rather than up there. And it was amazing. Finally, I've got a niece who is 12 years old, and she's had a rough life thus far, been raised in a difficult home, and she has issues with anxiety and stress that 12-year-olds should not have. And she was talking to my mom a few months back, and she told my mom, she said, I get anxious a lot. And she said, and you know what I've learned to do when I get anxious? And my mom said, well, what's that? And she said, I go outside, and I find a tree. She said, and I climb the tree, and then I go out on a limb, and I hang upside down. And my mom said, well, why do you do that? And she said, because when I hang upside down, everything around me, I know it's the same, but for just a little while, it all looks different. And she said, I begin to maybe believe that everything I see isn't everything, that maybe there's something always a little bit different there too. Wow, a 12-year-old preaching a sermon from nature. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of perspective change, and God uses what's all around us to say, maybe all that you see isn't everything. Maybe there's a God who's at work in stories of life and love all around us. And so we'll go from this place, and we will be invited to walk in a world where God is speaking all around us. And we would do well to follow the example of Moses in Exodus 3, being a people who might walk through this earth with eyes wide open, looking everywhere for glimpses of the extraordinary amidst what seems to be so very ordinary. Whenever we catch those glimpses, being a people who are quick to stop whatever we're doing, it can't be that important, and who are willing to turn aside and marvel just for a little while. A people who listen when we sense that we might actually be in a place where heaven is coming to earth. We can slow down. We can slow down. It's a choice. And we can marvel for a bit. And we can be a people who simply begin to wonder. We can wonder why that flower is so bright. Might sound cheesy, it sounds like worship to me. We can wonder why that tree is so large. We can wonder why that bird's song is so peaceful. We can wonder why that river is still flowing. We can wonder why that path seems so untraveled. We can be a people who turn aside and actually look until our God has plenty of time to let something appear. Notice that Moses heard God not by just noticing the bush, but he turned aside and he marveled. He sat there until God spoke up. We can be a people who simply sit in God's creation until all the other thoughts and expectations fade away and God finally has some room to whisper and be heard. Passing by God's artwork at 70 miles per hour is quite different than hanging it on your refrigerator and gazing at it every single time you pass by. There's a difference between passing by and gazing. There's a difference. Elizabeth Barrett Browning has this great quote. She says, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush of fire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." May we be a people who open our eyes and see the burning bushes in our midst this week. They are there, my friends. They are there. Get outside. Touch and smell and taste God's beautiful creation. Be free enough to turn aside from the agenda and simply stand there, not moving until you've listened carefully to whatever it is God might have to say. I guarantee you, he's got something to say. Too often, we do not hear because we do not marvel. We think we've been there, done that. We've seen it. We know the story. There's more to it. Turn aside and take time to marvel. Holy, burning bushes are all around us, and they tell us who our God is and who our God is calling us to be. Turn aside and listen. Our God is speaking. Whoever has ears to hear, let us marvel and let us hear. Our God is speaking. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the beauty of creation, and we thank you that in it all you are telling us all kinds of things about who you are and who we are. Thank you, Father, that you want us to know you, that you want us to follow you, that you want us to live our lives intimately with you. And so this week, open our eyes to whatever it is you want us to see. Father, catch our attention. Slow us down. Help us to turn aside and simply be with you in this beautiful canvas that you have made until you get to have your way with us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.